gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. A big Friday show coming up. We have W. Bruce Cameron, author of A Dog's Purpose.
That's right.
Coming up in less than half an hour. Fabulous new book on the New York Times bestseller. Stephanie Schrock, president of Emily's List. We're going to talk about the midterms. Particularly the big races out here in California, IA. And Fridays with Fugelsang, John Fugelsang in hour number three. And John Amato, who has figured out what time zone he's in.
Yes.
Proprietor of CrooksandLiars.com.
Apparently, Rebecca got a hold of him yesterday, and he sounded very, very tired. So she woke him up.
Oh, dear. All right. He was supposed to be on yesterday, rescheduled for today. All right. Friday Crook Stack. I just thought I would do the...
All right.
Why not? A lot of crimes committed over the weekend. North Charleston, South Carolina. Authorities say a would-be South Carolina bank robber left with a polite thank you after a teller told him she didn't have any money in her cash drawer. Not long after they stopped him while walking near the bank, police said he told him he had just finished a nearly four-year prison sentence for bank robbery and didn't want to go back. Here's a tip from the Stephanie Miller Show, stop robbing banks. And then there might be a good... That sort of didn't occur to him, that probably the way not to go back would be not to rob it.
Right.
Not to rob it. All right. What do you have planned for the weekend, Chris LaVoy?
Not a whole lot. Just a lot of relaxing.
I'm going to Aisha Tyler's birthday party because we're a twisty cone of comedy fun, is what I'm told.
Vanilla and chocolate.
Mm-hmm. We miss her. This is our first week. She's been in Toronto doing something.
No, she was in New York for Fashion Week.
Yes,
and
now she's
headed to Toronto for a big gig.
She's a jet setter.
She is.
Yes. A friend of mine yesterday was talking about how unbelievably gorgeous she is, and I said when she comes in the studio with no makeup and sweatpants and a baseball hat, she's just as annoyingly...
gorgeous.
Yeah.
She really
is. I said,
it's
really irritating. I'm here to tell you. It's bad. It's worse than you think. Because I know you think you're looking at airbrushed photos. Well, she's on, red carpets and things, and it's even worse in person.
Mm-hmm. She's flawless.
Yes. Why do we like her? I don't...
Because
that's the thing. She does not even have the decency to be a bitch, which I don't... She could help us out.
She's funny. She's smart. She's gorgeous. She's geeky.
Yes.
Yeah. The geeks love her, by the way.
I remember I met her many years ago at the Laugh Factory, and I was like, she looks like a supermodel, and you're like, oh, please. Like, girlfriend is funny. And then she gets on stage, and she's hilariously funny. And then I ran into her. This is when Tuesdays with Tyler started a couple of months ago on Larry King.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, dear God, she's frighteningly smart and knows the issues. And I'm like, this is... Oh. And then I thought, well, at least she'll probably be a biatch, so I'll be able to hate her. And no, she's like the nicest woman in the world.
Yep. Except for when she wants to kick Ann Coulter in the nards.
Even then, she's kind of nice. She's just, it was clearly a joke. She meant it in a loving way. All right. So lots doing on the big show. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall
Ooh,
we, kids?
Early.
Yes. Listen, it's Friday. I need to get this out of the way so that I can start...
drinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, by the way,
what?
Remember I told you I went to, wine country for vacation, which is not a good idea for me?
She says no.
Because
right.
I not only I bought like half, the, I don't know, almost every vineyard I went to, because I was like, I love it! I took home five cases, and then I joined wine clubs because I was...
drunk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my first thing that, there's a shipment on its way, and I'm like, oh, how much is this going to cost me? Because I don't know how many wine clubs. I think I joined three, so I don't...
You really are like Patsy and Adina when they went to France.
Yes. That's me. I'm Abfab.
Oh, boy.
All right. Because then there's no information about how much it is. It's just like, oh, your first
they don't tell
shipment's
you how,
on its way. I was like,
They don't tell you how much it is when you sign up?
Mm. I think they did, but I was...
drunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. Glenn Beck on the... Let's just move along. Glenn Beck on the radio.
I guarantee you, within the next 5 years, and we'll be lucky to last that long, within the next 5 years, the case will be made that we need to have universal housing the case will be made that there needs to be universal guaranteed jobs. Mm. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there are Marxists. There are Marxists in the FCC. There are Marxists in the White House. There are Marxists in the Capitol building.
Oh, if only there were some Marxists in the FCC, I'd have 500 radio stations.
That
but
is
no.
true.
Pete
no.
says no.
Oh, my kingdom for Marxists at the FCC. Wow, they're taking fear-mongering to a new level, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
The whole country is just going to poof? Just
kablamo.
We're five years from what? Just being, how would we, we're just being vaporized by in a you know, Marxist.
Mushroom cloud.
Aerosolized Marxism will result in us just. This is what the weird disconnect that's happened now in right wing world is. What they're talking about has no relation to reality.
That is true.
Obama is a centrist, has always been a centrist. I was listening to my buddy, the Randy Rhodes, yesterday, mm-hmm. and she did a great rundown of all the things he's accomplished since he's been in office. Everything he said he was going to.
Yeah.
And some of them things, as you know, that people on the left are not thrilled about. Doubling down in Afghanistan, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But
The White House does need a better PR program to get that message out there,
yeah.
I think.
No, I mean, he's gotten, I think, a remarkable amount accomplished.
Sure.
With a completely obstructionist Congress. And yet they go back and forth between either he hasn't done anything or he's completely destroying the country with his Marxist
programs.
Okay. All right. Don't you wish for once we could be talking about the same reality? Like, I wish we had gotten single payer and there was some sort of shred of reality in that we actually have some little, even a whiff of socialism.
Yeah.
So we could go, yes, and it's better.
Oh, the far right is going nuts over this Elizabeth Warren thing.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. Yes, and even that was the centrist choice. She's not really in charge of it because she'd have to get Senate confirmation. She may be eventually. So, I mean, no, it's good news that she's involved, but you're going, even that was like the moderate thing. It was not just appointing her the head of it. It was
right.
having to get around this ridiculous obstructionist Senate Republicant.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid she might actually do something, you know?
He kind of split the difference there and is kind of upsetting both sides.
What else is new? Is
my
point. My point is, why can't we have Marxism? I want...
You want... Oh, God. Did you get that, Newsbusters?
There, I paused there so they can make the edit. So it's not clunky. Okay.
Oh, no.
Rush Limbaugh.
One of the reasons Mucho might not like her, she's accountable. They've never had to be accountable before. They've had non-show-up jobs.
What?
No-show jobs. Not only could it be that they don't like that there's accountability, that people actually listen to what they say and react to it. Sometimes criticize it. They also have to work. It could well be that this is the first time in their lives they've had to work.
Okay, am I being a hysterical, overreactive liberal when I say, was that maybe possibly the most inherently racist thing he's ever said?
Yes.
Was that like, oh, lazy black people? They've never had to work. Obama have never had jobs. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Basically,
one of the most accomplished men, really, I guess, in our you know, history in terms of what he came to, the resume he came to office with.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just a lazy black guy who's never had to work.
They've just been sitting on their porch drinking grape knee-high this whole time.
A guy who some of his relatives still lives in huts, who put himself, you know, who got through Harvard and whatever, and is president, is just a lazy black guy.
Yeah.
This is for his first job?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the fact that he could have had jobs in any corporate law firm and whatever in the country, and he chose to work as a community activist, and devote his life to public service, so he's just a lazy black guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in a state already. Are you sure you wanted to start with this?
I'm two sound bites in, and I'm already...
You're worked up into a lather.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Yes, God forbid, you parents, you didn't want your kids to grow up to be a ne'er-do-well like Barack Obama.
Right.
Lazy bastard, never had a job. Okay. You know, you're right. I probably should have waited for my wine shipment before the show and started early. Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Free.
Top of the morning to you on a Thursday, September 16th, 2010. Yes. I'm Gretchen Carlson. Thanks for sharing your time today. President Obama wants a tax hike and is still blaming Republicans for getting in his way.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
God. You know, she's not one of our top economists. Is that?
No.
I don't mean to be rude.
I don't think she's very bright.
Okay. So that's the Fox talking point. It's a, what do you call it? It's a tax hike.
Yes.
So the Bush tax cuts, which were supposed to expire, which George Bush signed the piece of paper saying they should expire now.
That's right.
Which has added untold millions to our deficit.
Billions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes, billions. Okay, that's a tax hike. Sarah Palin and her protege, Christine O'Donnell.
Ugh. She's going to have to learn that. Yeah, very quickly. She's going to have to dismiss that. Go with her gut. Get out there. Speak to the American people. Speak through Fox News.
What?
And let the independents who are tuning into you, let them know what it is that she stands for, the principles behind her positions.
Okay.
Wow. She's too stupid to even go, don't say it. Don't say it on the air that Fox News is an arm of the Republican Party. Oh, my God. Speak through Fox News directly. Wow. She just admitted that Fox is the megaphone
yes.
of the Republican Party.
She did.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is everybody's plan now. Don't talk to anybody.
Except for Fox News.
Yes. Oh.
Talk to Gretchen Carlson.
Yes.
She'll give you a softball interview.
It's because she's got certainly the finest understanding of our economic situation. Anybody. 17 minutes after the hour. I need some sorbet.
I'd like to see either Christine O'Donnell or Sarah Palin with Rachel Maddow.
Hmm. In what way? Oh, not in that way. In a debate.
It.
In a debate, yes.
Well, no, in an interview situation. I'd like to see Rachel Maddow ask either one of them some very tough questions.
It would be like the scene from Wizard of Oz, or just be a little puddle of water in a hat where Christine O'Donnell was. 17 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, let's finish up Right Wing World.
We have to.
Michelle Malkin on the Hannity. Wow, this is the one of the most entertaining editions of Republicans eating their own. Ever, this Karl Rove thing.
Yes, it is.
Not a Christine O'Donnell fan.
No.
T and then a he. She was there doing a mop-up, doing damage control.
Yeah.
After Sean Hannity's head exploded when Karl Rove was there last. Okay.
I think that what we saw last night on your show and your very watershed exchange with Karl Rove was the death throes of the old guard.
Ooh.
It is a time for the changing of the guard. We've been talking about it. We talked about it with regard to the O'Donnell race last week here, Sean, a week ago exactly. And we've been talking about it for quite some time now. And I think that what you're seeing is fear. You know, a lot of people have asked me, they didn't understand what motivated Karl Rove's vicious and really incivil response last night. Completely toned deaf.
Incivil?
My God. They all speak Palinese now.
Yeah, incivil.
They're actual words.
God.
Or unfactual. That's Christine O'Donnell's new... Wow. How was it feeling on that bus there, Karl Rove? How'd you... Breathe in the fumes.
You know, he walked that back. So
well, I was just going to say,
uh-huh.
How pathetic is this? How scared they are of drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, he's Rove backs off O'Donnell criticism after Limbaugh declares he's in charge of saying who's electable. Wow. What a pathetic little excuse for a party, in my opinion. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. Unbelievable. All right. John Stossel and Glenn Beck on the Fox News.
Part of the problem is we rudely keep living longer. And FDR had no idea that people...
Health care is going to take care of that.
When Social Security was...
Did you hear what he said? Health care is going to take care of people living longer. Health care reform.
Oh, I see. It's going to
kill
just grandma. And then it will get to everybody else eventually.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. That concludes the... You know, I know a new generic poll shows Democrats even now with Republicans in terms of who's...
Yeah, but it's a generic poll, which means...
Whatever, but the Republicans had been ahead. Everybody trumpeted that as the huge breaking news story that, oh, the Republicans are 10 points ahead, blah, blah. For instance, health care. Is this really... What their plan is to defund it, so you can then again be discriminated against for pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
That's their idea. And this is, by the way, this is what I love about the whole Karl Rove, Christine, the whole, this is how they're, everybody, you know, they sort of as a group bitch slap Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh, this is the future of the Tea Party. How much you want to bet they're all going to implode in November, and then what? I hate to say it, the Karl Roves of the world are right. You know, I think these candidates are going to implode, and then what's the media story going to be about the fearsome power of the Tea Party and yada, yada, yada? Anyway, for instance, a major Tea Party group asking Republican congressional leaders to include cutting funds to implement the new health care law in a contract the GOP plans to roll out later this month. Unfortunately, we will not be able to pass repeal legislation until there are 60 amenable senators to avoid a filibuster and Republican president to sign it, the group wrote. But by the time such a majority is secured, Obamacare will be well on its way to becoming another entrenched moral and immortal entitlement program. Therefore, a more immediate and comprehensive strategy in order to ensure this train wreck of a law doesn't leave the station. Specifically, we're calling for the Republican Party to include defunding Obamacare as part of your contract with citizens this fall. So that's what they're being pushed to do by the teabaggers. What's his name? Tom Price from Republican of Georgia, Republican Study Committee Chairman. He repeated a Republican threat to withhold funding for health care reform if the party takes control of the House. Republicans have been calling for appropriations legislation that doesn't include funds to implement health care reform. This is their new evil master plan. And have expressed a willingness to force a government shutdown if President Obama vetoes the legislation. That's their other plan. That's their backup plan. Uh-huh. Defund health care, number one. And then number two, just shut the whole government down in a little
snit.
A little snit. If they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Boehner had promised Republicans would strip the law of funding if they took the House. Senator McCain, among others, remember him? He used to be the moderate?
The maverick.
Yes. Among others have followed suits. Then Republicans have been campaigning on both of those proposals. Because originally when we were saying they were talking about repealing it, it's like promising people a sparkle pony that, you know, farts rainbows. Because they can't do it. The president would be. It's not something you could even accomplish. Repealing health care. So now this is their new plan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just have to defund the sparkle pony that farts rainbows.
Perhaps we should. Okay. By the way, just since Christine O'Donnell has come into the public view with all her kind of, like, some wacky, well, nutty, as Karl Rove would call them, nutty ideas. She's not the only one. Grand old deniers, nearly all Republican Senate candidates deny global warming. So she's not the only anti. They are regressives. This is what they are. All right, Bruce Cameron, author of A Dog's Purpose, coming up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I once fantasized about that
Stephanie Miller
chick you see on a truck's mud flaps. Took me less than a mile.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We're going to see if we can get some pictures of Max and Fred, Mommy's boy dogs up on your website.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine asked, is it possible for me to talk about them without that voice? And it is not, I found.
I was kind of
so
hoping it was.
Handsome, so handsome, romantic. Where do you see them on the beach? Oh, they're so handsome. Ugh. Okay.
You really do have to use that voice, don't you?
Yeah, so I don't know why I turned into Carol Channing. She's mommy's bitch, man.
Oh, boy.
All right, so here's two of my favorite things that I love. Incredibly funny writers like my friend Bruce Cameron and dogs. So now the author of A Dog's Purpose, Bruce Cameron. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You're one of the very few guests I've had on that I've pinched their ass quite a few times. In front of your girlfriend.
Yeah, I've treasured each pinch.
who's a course, one of my dear friends. All right. So, Bruce, this book, first of all, congratulations. I've been on the New York Times list for 8 consecutive weeks.
That's right. Yeah, it's doing great.
I mean, and by the way, so people know, you wrote 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
That was the series, my first one, yeah.
Yeah, that the series was based on. You're a wildly successful author.
I'm wild anyway.
Yes. Now, so tell me about this book, because you know you're speaking my language now, if you're speaking dog. Where did this come from and why?
Yeah, this book, A Dog's Purpose, asks the question, what if your dog never really dies? And answers the question through the story of one dog who keeps getting reincarnated over and over again, and through the course of each life learns things that help him with the next life, but starts to wonder, why is this happening, and concludes, well, it must be happening because I have a purpose. We all have a purpose, actually. And until you determine what that purpose is and fulfill it, you just keep being reborn. So.
Well, you know, and obviously it's a novel, but, you know, as you say, I got both of my dogs, you probably know, from Gentle Giant's Rescue. And so, you know, it raises, I understand it's just an unbelievably touching story, but it also raises discussion points about the correct treatment of animals, the nightmare of puppy mills, the importance of spaying, neutering, a lot of stuff that, you know, adopting animals from a rescue or a shelter, stuff that a lot of us have talked about for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. The dog and a dog's purpose, and it's not... It's a he sometimes, but sometimes it's a female, does not have an easy life, does get exposed to, like, a hoarder and lives a life as a feral dog and is euthanized early in life in one cycle, also lives, though, as a beloved pet and as a rescue dog. And through these different lives, we do see that there's a real dark side to how people treat animals. And of course, the tragic thing is it's so easy to treat animals well, and they respond so well. You know, this dog, as woeful as that tail sounds, you know, dogs are just full of joy. And so no matter how awful life is, this dog really is happy because that's how dogs are. You know, no matter how miserably you treat them, they're happy, and that's how this dog is. So so it helps being a humor writer because there's a lot of joy in this book, even in squalid conditions.
I have a number of signs in my house. One of them is, I want to be the person my dog thinks I am.
Yeah, that's right. And you are.
I don't know about that. No, but you're right. It's just, there's something about the connection you can't even... There's a reason that it's God spelled backwards, Bruce, is my point.
Yes.
But, you know, it really is. There's something about that they don't judge you, that there's something about the connection, I think, between dogs and humans you just can't... you can't explain, really, right?
You can't explain it. In A Dog's Purpose, I take a crack at it by saying, when you look into the eyes of some dogs, you think you see some old souls looking back at you. And, of course, some dogs, you look at it and say, no, this is his first trip. But for the most part, when you look at a dog's eyes, sometimes you see wisdom that seems way deeper than what you would expect from an animal that is supposedly so simple.
Or a Tea Party candidate on the Republican side. Oh,
right.
Come on now, I'm just saying. What do you see when you look in Christine O'Donnell's eyes? Nothing.
Stop it.
Max, you can see a million lifetimes. Now, Bruce, I'm reading that you were inspired to write the novel. You were riding your bike on a mountain trail, right? And you locked eyes with a dog. Tell us about that.
I happened on one trip to meet a dog who looked at me the way my dog, my very first dog, Cammy, when I was 8 years old, I met Cammy, the same age that the boy is in A Dog's Purpose when he meets Bailey, the central character. And the way that Cammy looked at me through my life was the way this dog was looking at me, and I had this odd sense that I was interacting with my very first dog. And that hung with me for a long time and was ultimately the foundation for the question, well, what if your dog never dies?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that any of us that have, had dogs, lost dogs, you're absolutely right. Like, whenever I see a dog that's the same breed, you know, as somebody, you know, as a dog that I lost, it really is just a unbelievably deep emotional connection.
Well, how many people have said, my dog, I went to go pick a dog, and this dog picked me. This dog already knew me, and I think there's something to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, they always say the right dog comes to you, or you know, whatever, but Yeah, now September 22nd through the 29th is National Dog Week. You have a website, adogspurpose.com.
Yes, and I have a really active fan page on Facebook where people trade dog stories and dog pictures and things like that. So that's really, if you like Facebook, go there. You can hang out with a lot of fellow dog lovers. And just look for A Dog's Purpose on Facebook.
Just great timing because some of the money you're having a contest too. That some of the money goes to various animals rescue shelters. Right? Correct.
We've been running a Dog of the Week contest, and it's through the end of October, where the winner of the Dog of the Week contest gets to pick a charity to receive a free spay or neuter, which is really important in trying to improve the lives of feral dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and you, part of the inspiration, you talk about your daughter, who is also works with rescue shelters.
Yeah, thanks. My older daughter is into animal rescue and has been since she was a kid, which was sort of hard to maintain when she was. That's all she wanted to talk about and get involved with was animal rescue. She's got 5 foster dogs living with her right now. She is constantly getting up in the middle of the night and driving to a shelter to save a dog from being euthanized. She really inspired me because I always thought the way to get a dog was you go to a breeder and you give him $500 and he gives you a purebred dog. If you're interested in purebred dogs, you can get one from any rescue.
I always say that. I have 2 beautiful Great Pyrenees, and I rescued them both, and I think people don't realize that you there are, all the breed, specific breed rescues, and then they're, like you say, it's just there is such a overwhelming problem with it that you really can. You could rescue any purebred pretty much you want.
And then you'll be happy and the dog will be happy. And if you need to keep in mind when you rescue a dog, you actually save 2 because the shelters are so crowded. By opening up a space, you save the dog you adopted, and then you also open a space to save another dog from the streets.
Now, your daughter, I was that kid growing up, too. But he followed me home, kid. Yeah. And then I had, a pocket full of liverwurst, I'm like, I don't. He followed me home, Mom. Now, is this the daughter
that... Do that?
Yes. Yes, she does.
I have a pocket of liverwurst right now. Bruce, by the way, is this the daughter that you have the 8 simple rules for dating?
That is the same one in this. Well, I have 2 daughters. Mm-hmm. I have one, and then I have the other one I call the spare. I had 2 daughters that were teenagers, and so, yes, it's all the same family.
Now, I know that was several books ago, but refresh my memory. What are the key rules for dating your teenage daughter?
Oh, God. I don't even say them out loud anymore because my daughters have absolutely banished those words from my lips.
They're a little tired of those.
Yeah, they don't want to hear them ever again. I kind of promised that when they were no longer teenagers, I wouldn't say them anymore.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's interesting how many ways you and I intersect, but I read that, our good friend Amy Yazbek is going to have a new book out about John Ritter, who... Yeah. Was her husband who, just what a, God, that whole, by the way, the book was great, the series was great, and it was such a sad thing when John Ritter passed.
Oh, God, it was awful. And, of course, it's a trivia question for people, is that John Ritter was named different. He was playing me on the show.
Right.
So it was a very odd and horrible thing when John passed. I suppose if he had stayed on the show, he would have wound up writing a dog book. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I intersect with them. They were both on I've Got a Secret, the game show I hosted on Oxygen. But, it's one of those things where you go, it wasn't just a PR that people said, he was such a great guy and he was such a great husband and father.
Right.
I saw it. I saw them with their kid in the green room and they just, were such a hilarious, touching couple. And anyway, Bruce Cameron, the book is A Dog's Purpose, and it is rocketing up the New York Times bestseller list. I would grab a copy now if I were you, before they're all gone.
Yes.
Yes, they're having a special sale over at Barnes & Noble, I think, especially online, but the people are starting to have trouble finding them because they're selling so fast. Like hotcakes, one might say.
Yes, exactly. Don't forget September 22nd through the 29th, National Dog Week. It is adogspurpose.com. Bruce, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. Great talking to you.
All right. Bye, honey. There he goes. Bruce
Cameron. And of course, we have links, all kinds of links at your Facebook page and at stephaniemiller.com.
He is, his girlfriend is my good friend, Catherine Michon, author of Girl Genius Guide to Life and many other fabulous books. And they're just the cutest little twin writer couple ever. It's just, it's disgusting. It's cute and smart and funny. And she doesn't mind if I pinch his ass. Which is
whore.
I like that in a friend. Robert in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Robert.
How do you segue that beautiful story right there? That's awful. I wanted to talk policy and talk about how our president is playing three-dimensional chess once again with
avatar chess. Yes. Dude,
I tell you, with Elizabeth Warren, this appointment.
You need the 3D glasses to keep up, don't you?
Oh my God! And the thing is she can now, right now, institute policy and procedure and develop her program, where if she had to wait for a lengthy confirmation process and that wasn't even a given that she was going to get confirmed.
Right. Well, Robert, you heard my naysaying mook here go, oh well, splitting the difference again, blah blah blah, but you're right, it is getting something done right away, where people go, oh, we did the centrist, blah blah, but you're right, I would rather have her in there now affecting policy.
And you know why they hate her? You know why the right wing hates her or is scared, about her? Is that she actually believes the economy and the financial industry should address social justice issues. Wow, what a thought.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that actually would change the status quo for the better, they're terrified of.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Robert. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, this is a story.
Stephanie Miller.
Blast it off. Oh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fart jokes and do-gooding, that's what we're all about.
Really?
51 minutes after the
hour.
When's
the do-gooding start?
See, because we just had Bruce Cameron on A Dog's Purpose. And by the way, that's one of my favorite causes. Gentle Giants Rescue, yep. I believe. Do we have a link up on StephanieMiller.com?
Somewhere.
Okay. Or rescue a dog. Do it!
Yes.
All right. We have a number of things. Let's. You know what? We're in a do-gooding mood. The other thing I wanted to mention, we have a banner ad up on StephanieMiller.com for the Trevor Project, mm-hmm. which I am also I'm sure what I am. They gave me a boa. I'm a spokesperson. I'm a
spokesboa?
I'm a Trevor Project diva. It's the nation's only 24-hour suicide hotline for gay and lesbian youth, and they do. They're doing seriously the Lord's work over there. Because we had another horrible story. I don't know if you saw this. Trevor Project released a statement about this: the recent death of Billy Lucas, who died by suicide as a result of ongoing school bullying in Greensburg, Indiana. We are saddened to once again hear of another young person who died of suicide as a result of school bullying. Billy Lucas, a 15-year-old at Greensburg High School, stood out among the 630 students in the school because he was different. Other students perceived Billy was gay, and he was relentlessly tormented as a result. While the school district does have anti-harassment and anti-bullying policies, the policies do not specifically protect youth from harassment due to the real or perceived sexual orientation. Only 11 states in the country offer fully inclusive anti-harassment and anti-bullying education policies. Indiana is not among them. Let's see. So, that's the thing. Is once again, our friends on the Republican side fighting against this.
Yep.
They don't want your kids to know anything about the gay. Because that's,
Because that's French and...
Mm-hmm.
Gay.
We support fully inclusive federal legislation like the Safe Schools Improvement Act currently under consideration in the Senate to offer the protections to all our children in need from torment and ridicule at school, regardless of their real or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. So please call your senators and congresspeople. That would seem like a no-brainer. Because bullying, and as we've talked about, social networking, it provides whole new platforms for bullying.
Oh, yeah.
Another entirely different kind.
You should see what people say about you.
Well, thank you. Ever since Carol Fisher beat me up in front of the Y and Roman Gomez called you fat, things have gone high-tech in terms of bullying.
Oh, and Keegan Leonard trapped me behind a door and started throwing things at me.
Oh, this is a new story.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Started throwing food over the top of the door, and it would land on me.
Mary Murphy put a cat kidney in my hairbrush in biology lab.
That's kind of gross. A cat kidney?
Because she knew I always brush my hair right at the end of class, so, in case she saw a cute boy in the hallway. So I was,
What was she doing with a cat kidney?
It had been dissected from a cat in biology lab.
You dissected cats?
I think so.
Dude.
All I remember were frogs, because Paul DeFonso was my lab partner, and I made him actually dissect the pregnant frog, because I always got the pregnant frog.
Oh, my God.
And I actually made it. I was like, please, can you touch it? I can't.
Bill Booth made a jump rope out of the frog's intestines.
Once we get going on our own stories, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary Murphy, I had one of those long, the stocking caps that you only see in, like, Dr. Seuss, but I actually had, because I lived in Buffalo. I grew up in, outside Buffalo, so I had a long stocking cap. And she pulled it off once and put a snowball in it, and then I got detention from the nuns because you weren't allowed to have snowballs. And I was like, I didn't make it. She put it in my cap. I wasn't having a snowball fight. Okay, never mind. You know what?
Wonder whatever happened to Mary Murphy.
She's my good friend still.
Is she?
In Lockport, New York. Yes, we've gotten past the snowball incident and the cat kidney. That was a long time ago.
I'm not friends with Roman Gomez or Keegan Leonard.
Well, it's different. That's what I'm saying, is bullying has gotten, it's gotten worse now.
All right.
All right. And one more thing I want to mention. This is an unbelievable story. I have a friend named, because, we're kind of joking around about our growing up. She, I don't even know how to tell BB's story. She lived in the Congo, and she is a torture victim. She was, first of all, she was tortured because she was gay. Her husband sent a bunch of men in the middle of the night that, it's a too awful story to even talk about, but she was tortured and raped in front of her six children.
Oh, my God.
In the Congo. So if you're in Los Angeles, if you haven't seen the Pulitzer Prize-winning play Ruined, it's going to be at the Geffen Theater this Sunday night, this weekend. It dramatizes the lives of torture survivors in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, of which Min Bibi is one of the people, mentioned in here and talked about. One of the nicest people I have ever met, and she still can't see her children. They're back in the... She had to, flee for her life, and she has a long, horrible story. But on September 19th, a portion of the proceeds from the Geffen Theater's new production of Ruined will go to, called PTV, Program for Torture Victims. We just put it up in my...
on your Facebook page.
Yeah, my Facebook page. But at any rate, so that was part of her whole story, is she was literally left tortured, raped, left for dead because she was gay, and she has had to leave her six kids in the Congo. And this is what people's lives are like in other places. So anyway, do something good this weekend for somebody.
And
you'll feel better.
And please share that link on your Facebook page, if you will. Spread the word.
All right, Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Well, on a lighter note, my cat has a rebuttal to your guest about dogs.
Okay.
He posited that dogs are reincarnated up to another level as they learn things. Well, once they hit that level where they've really learned, they come back as a cat. And here is how smart my cat is.
Okay.
Every time you
dogs
guys...
rule, cats rule.
Okay, well, they're all cool. But my cat's so smart that when you guys play clips of Sarah Palin, she runs and hides under the couch. I love you guys. Bye.
All right.
Guys and gals.
Oh, kitty, we're sorry.
Meow. Guys and gals.
Yeah. Rich in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'd like to be the official apostate Calvinist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we were looking for one.
Yes, we had an opening just yesterday.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'd like to say about Karl Rove, he's an evil genius. He does not go on a national platform and talk out his what's it. What he's accomplished is basically firing up the teabaggers and making the Democrats lackadaisical by presenting McDonald a foregone conclusion.
You know, Rich, one of our listeners came up with that conspiracy theory yesterday, and I know what you mean. It's hard as a liberal to trust anything Karl Rove says or does, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the man's crazy like a fox, but I just can't see him getting on there and doing a rant. He called up Rush later in the day and had a nice chuckle about it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put it past him. And I think that's why I've been mentioning, if you watched Joe Biden's interview, with Rachel Maddow the other night, he basically said, get it in gear, people. You have to understand what's at stake here in these midterms. And I think you're absolutely right. We cannot be complacent.
All right. I got to go. I'm at the border.
Oh, you got to go. Oh, pardon me.
He's
a trucker. He has to go now.
He's at the border?
I don't know. Border somewhere.
Oh.
58 minutes after the hour. President Emily's List coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of Deity Jim Warren, or me, Stephanie Miller. You can...
What?
We've been, we've been on an animal. We've been talking about... Because we had the author of the author of A Dog's Purpose on last hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now, did you see the little tiny cow?
The
world's smallest cow. Did you see him?
No.
A minuscule cow. With a taste for contemporary music, has been named the world's smallest.
With a what? With
a
what?
A taste for contemporary music.
He likes she, or is it a she? Oh, no.
Well, cow.
Like
it's a she. Sorry.
Like Lady Gaga?
Not sure. She likes contemporary music. There, it was not really named what kind. She's been named the world's smallest cow. I love mini farm animals. That's my dream, you know. I want a
mini petting zoo.
Yes, I want to have a, when I retire, which could be any moment now, I want to have a little farm with little mini, I like little mini horses. What's his name? Cuddles. Cuddles wears sneakers and she has blue eyes. The little mini horse. Have you ever
Hell are you talking
She's
about?
She's a guide horse. Cuddles. Cuddles the guide horse. People know what I'm talking about. She wears sneakers and she has blue eyes.
That's the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard you say.
There's a miniature horse, there's a miniature pigs, and anyway, now there's a little baby cow. Guinness says the sheep-sized bovine, she's only 33 inches from hind quarters to...
You're not going to get a good steak from her.
The 11-year-old cow is named Swallow.
Jerky, maybe.
Yeah, some jerky.
And
that's
she
it.
Listens to BBC Radio in her in her cow shed. Where she, I guess...
This is the BBC. And you are a cow.
Does she listen to Catty Kay?
I don't know. It does not specify which tune.
BBC News or BBC
I don't
music?
Know. But how many details do you think there are in a story about a tiny cow?
You certainly gave us a lot of details about that cow.
Cuddles! Oh, Cuddles, the mini horse. Somebody, you've seen, there was a story in People magazine. People know what I'm talking about. They use them as guide horses, you know, instead of guide dogs for the blind.
Hmm.
Cuddles is a guide horse.
Which is good until they start galloping.
But Cuddles is trained not to gallop. Oh. She wears sneakers and she has these beautiful blue eyes.
Why does she need sneakers?
I don't know.
You can't fit sneakers.
Well, you can on Cuddles.
Unless they're metal sneakers that
horses
you nail into
don't
your
have
boots.
Heels and toes.
Listen, I'm going to Google Cuddles and you'll see what I mean. I don't know why she wears sneakers, but someone can tell me.
A horseshoe, maybe, but not.
She wears sneakers.
That is weird.
Okay,
a horse is a horse, of course, unless she wears sneakers and doesn't
90s.
Exist, because Stephanie is high again.
Tony in Ohio. Tony, I'm not high. In fact, I've never been high.
You guys are killing me. Okay, well, this is Christine O'Donnell.
Yes.
I don't think her handlers are going to let her engage in any kind of formal intellectual contest with her opponent.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, with all of the back and forth and the give and take and the in and out of this sort of contest, she might get good at it, and then she'd be a master debater.
You saw where you were going with that. That was, I saw that coming, so to speak.
Yeah. Can we put this show in park and just leave it?
No, it's got a manual transmission.
Oh, God.
It's Friday. We're just not really.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, you know when you're off on Cuddles, something really is
something awry.
All right. Jeff in Orange County. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to comment, after 10 years of hearing about Bush's brain and what a genius Karl Rove is, I'd like everybody to think for a minute that he's not a genius. Anybody could have catered to the lowest denominators of hate and bigotry through dishonesty of information and dishonest dissemination of information, which is all he's done. He's not a genius. He's morally bankrupt. No one would have stooped to these levels prior to him. And now everybody deems this acceptable behavior in politics in this country, and that's why we are where we are, due to this absolute ignoramus. He's not a genius.
Yeah,
he's just
bankrupt. He's just a chubby. What did Paul Begala call him? He's just a chubby little trickster. You know, I mean, it really is true. He's just
Just relish the sight of his face when he found that McCain had lost Ohio.
Oh, he's great. Wait, on Fox News.
I really just got Ohio. He just lost Ohio.
Oh, dear.
I need a change. change my pants now.
You know, we were talking policy there for a brief moment with our caller who had such good points, Jim, and then Chris brought up a picture of Puck Cuddles that I can see over there on the internet.
Yeah, I just posted it on your Facebook page.
Cuddles. And Cuddles is wearing sneakers, isn't she?
Cuddles is wearing sneakers.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm always right and you're wrong. There's no one, someone will have the explanation by the end of the show as to why Cuddles wears sneakers, but she does. Isn't she the cutest thing you've ever seen?
It's just weird. That's weird.
She's a guide. She's a mini guide horse. Okay. I'm going to be distracted by shiny things a lot this morning, I can tell. All right. Like, for instance, keys. Elizabeth Warren.
Keys.
Oh, keys. No, let's talk about it.
There's Cuddles with the sneakers. And she's
See?
All fuzzy and they're cute.
See?
And she's just like a little doggy.
It turns any adult into jelly. We're having a serious policy discussion. And seriously, look at, go to the internet now and look at Cuddles.
You'll just, horse for the
you blind. Won't get any work done for the rest of the day.
What if Elizabeth Warren wore sneakers and had blue eyes?
I think she does, on book counts.
I'm sure she All right. Elizabeth Warren, we
pounds,
like to call her Cuddles here on this. Stephanie Miller Show.
Elizabeth Cuddles Warren.
You know, maybe we ought to just give up talking about serious issues for the rest of the show. We're just...
It's the hearts with sneakers.
Mm. All right. Naysaying MOOC, Jim, where do you come down on this? I think, you know, one of our callers was saying, I think this is another example. I understand some people will go, oh, there he is, splitting the difference again. She's not really in charge.
No, I think this is the right thing to do.
Right,
yeah.
Because
you avoid
we
that.
Have this solid wall of Republican obstruction. I mean, she wouldn't get through the Senate.
I agree with Jonathan Alter's point that that's a fight you want to have, having the Republicans be against consumers.
Right.
But in this case, if he can get her in there without that bruising battle...
Right,
so
and have
better.
Her affect policy right away,
right.
And then maybe she still can be the you know the actual
Whether
head of it.
Whether she's the official head of it or not, she still plays
right.
a huge part in making the thing work.
Yeah, exactly. The president on the...
The idea for this agency was Elizabeth Warren's. She's a dear friend of mine. She's somebody I've known since I was in law school. And you know, I have been in conversations with her.
Yes, hello. So, by the way, just in case you just tuned in, President Obama named Wall Street critic Elizabeth Warren as special advisor overseeing the creation of a new Consumer Protection Bureau with vast powers to enforce regulations covering mortgages, credit cards, and other financial products. Yeah, she might actually affect financial policy,
yeah.
Which is why the Republicans are terrified.
And she's got to answer to Tim Geithner, who's not a fan of hers. I am not one of your fans.
I am not one of your fans!
Probably some pretty frosty lunches when they are.
Yeah, exactly. Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, this is the reason why he didn't go the Senate route.
It's just another disturbing trend in this administration of creating czars and czarinas who are unaccountable to elected representatives. Last time I checked, there were about three dozen of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And Bush never had any recess appointments.
No,
yes.
Not at all.
Is Fox News on czar watch? Oh, she's a czarina.
She's communist. She's a czarina. Wait, they were killed by the communists? Oh, never mind. I should have read a book at some point.
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah. This is going to be their talking point. Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm all for consumer protection, but
yeah,
I thought it was irresponsible of us to give so much power to one person, again, with no board, with no real check against rule writing.
Yeah. So it can't be the Wild West on Wall Street
That's
anymore.
We don't
need no stinking badges.
Consumers have too much power.
Exactly.
I want to drive them into the ground with a mallet like whack-a-mole. Now they can walk around like real humans and demand things.
Sorry, Jim. We must bring the show to a screeching halt now. We got too much into serious policy. And now Corey in Indiana with the fun facts about why Cuddles wear sneakers. Duh. Why does Cuddles wear sneakers?
Hey, Mama.
Hi, Corey.
How are you doing?
Good.
All right, well, the reason Cuddles wears sneakers is since she's a guide horse and helps people through buildings, you've got them concrete surfaces.
Uh-huh.
It cuts down on the clanking noise and it gives her some grip.
Oh, that's right, the clapping in the, right, because she has to go through places where the guide dogs would go.
Exactly.
And not where the horses would normally be, so yes, exactly.
Well, then why not just have a dog?
Well, maybe they like horses better.
Because Cuddles is a good guide horse. Oh,
that's right.
Corey, take me away from all this morning. Come
but
pick me up.
Dogs have paws.
Oh, you know what? You know what, Stephanie, my wife and I would love to take you away anywhere.
Oh, hello. It turned into a threesome joke. All right, Corey.
Are you suggesting that Cuddles the Wonder Horse is a gimmick of some kind?
Yes.
Okay.
Dogs have pads on their feet. They don't clop.
Why must you be against everything on floor? So what's wrong with a guide horse? It's a mini guide horse.
There's a reason why
it's a new way to help the blind.
There's a reason why we don't have guide horses. Because they're loud and they poop.
How dare you speak you Cuddles.
You can't train them to poop outside.
Guide horses
you can train,
drag me away.
You can train Cuddles to do anything.
And they gallop.
But you're just picking on Cuddles to make me mad. All right.
That's exactly right. Just to make you mad.
All right. Who can be against Cuddles? Go to my Facebook page right now. It's stephaniemiller.com. You can click on it. Look at Cuddles. Who can be against Cuddles? You're like a Republican, for God's sakes. You're just against it because I'm for
it. I'm sure plenty of Republicans love Cuddles.
Bob in Ohio, you're...
That sounded weird, didn't it?
they actually like sleep sex with unconscious people. Hi, Rob. Bob in Ohio.
Hey, Stephanie. I want to be the official locomotive engineer of the Stephanie Miller Crazy Train.
Boy, howdy.
Hey, I am very, very upset with you.
Why?
Because
are you anti-Cuddles?
No, because I had to change my work hours. I used to have a steady daylight morning run, and now I had to go to midnight, so just so I could listen to your show.
Oh, well, I don't see what's wrong with that.
Well, I think I'm cutting pay, damn it.
Well, listen, we all have to make sacrifices for
okay. Hey, right. And you were talking about, you know, the different lives of dogs. When I have a rescue Cocker Spaniel that I rescued from the pound the day before he's going to be euthanized, and when I look into his eyes, I see every dog that I've ever had in my life, and I'm 60 years old.
Yep, I know. Oh,
now, I love him to death.
Aw, thank you, honey.
And I love you too, Steph.
I love you. Listen, there is no quicker way to get me in the sack than to start talking about dogs.
No, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't have anything else.
All right, thank you.
If you're so pro-dog, why are you so pro-horse?
Because just because Cuddles exist doesn't cut down on guide dogs. They're still going to have guide dogs. You are just trying to irritate me. When we come back, Melinda has some fun facts for you about why we have guide horses.
I'm looking forward to this.
18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move. Just bust the move.
Yeah. Oh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Oh, check this out. Do I make up these letters that people write me? No, I do not.
Computer says
you do not. No, I do not. Leslie, the official phone sex operator of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
Oh, boy.
Right, Staff and Mooks. There I was. This is an unsolicited testimonial, by the way. There I was listening to my Steph Cast on 495. Noodling on the net on my new refurbished laptop when suddenly the hard drive died, and I do mean died, as in no boot device found showing up on the screen when I tried to reboot. Oh, noes. Panic. All my stuff was on that computer. Music, pictures, even some TV shows I'd purchased and recently downloaded. But hooray! Instead of going with my original plan of backing up my computer on a flash key, which I'd planned to do on my desktop PC the previous year, only to have it die on me the day I was going to do the first backup, thus losing everything on my PC, I decided to try out Carbonite online backup service as featured on stephaniemiller.com and touted so enthusiastically. Yes. Thank heavens I was saved. I did have to buy a new hard drive, but thanks to Carbonite, all my files were saved. I was able to load them back on my laptop as if nothing had happened. Carbonite, totally worth it. Thanks, Stephan Mooks. You're welcome, Leslie. Go to, by the way, you can go to Carbonite.com, and don't forget, enter Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com.
You said enter Stephanie.
Stop it. I have to send this to Carbonite.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And don't say that Leslie can repay you with some free phone sex. Don't say that either.
God.
All right. You're welcome, Leslie. We're happy to do it. All right. Back to Cuddles. Shannon and Mel.
God, we should reset. Cuddles is...
Cuddles is the mini guide horse with blue eyes and weird sneakers. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, guys.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hello. So,
You know, why they use guide horses instead of dogs. Well, as you know, it takes extensive training to train a guide animal.
Right.
And it's really expensive. Well, horses live on average 10 years longer than dogs.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Shannon, I was going to say, and I don't think there's a lot of them. Chris was implying somehow that I'm anti-dog by being pro-Cuddles. And I don't think Cuddles is putting a lot of dogs out of work, do you?
No, I don't think so, but, you know, you're just pro-animal. What's wrong with that?
Yes. You made it sound like I'm affecting the dog unemployment problem in this country by being pro-Cuddles.
You are.
Horses are crossing the border illegally and taking our dogs' jobs.
I want to see your papers, horse.
No, that's only in Arizona.
Yes, Shannon, go ahead. Sorry.
A couple of days ago, you were asking for a new name for the Republican Party.
Yes.
But I don't have that, but I do have a new name for the Tea Party.
What's that?
Why don't we just call them Tea-publicans?
Ah, good idea. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because Tea Party people are only just Republicans who voted for George Bush twice.
Yep.
And,
well, I'm going
to call themselves Republicans, but still think they know what's best for the country.
Yep. I'm still going with Insane Clown Posse, but you go ahead with yours.
Yeah, they both work.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, but Insane Clown Posse is already taken.
I think the teabaggers think George Bush is a liberal, though, so I think they probably regret that.
Yeah, exactly. Nikki in Phoenix, Uncuddles. Hi, Nikki.
Hello.
Hi, Nikki.
I just wanted to tell you guys that our guard dogs in Phoenix wear shoes.
Oh, because the pavement's so hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you against shoes for animals?
See,
Nikki, he automatically was questioning that Cuddles even wore sneakers, and I was right about that, right?
Right.
Yes, and because they have to go in buildings and things where you don't want clopping.
Well, then why not have dogs that don't clop?
Because some people want Cuddles! Ron in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, I've got one problem. I need carbonite. I just had my computer screw up yesterday. I'm sitting here going, what the hell am I going to do?
Oh, see, that's the problem. It's the kind of thing you can't wait until it's too late. Go to carbonite.com right now. Enter Stephanie for your special offer. Okay. Ron, go ahead.
Don't use Internet Explorer 9, the new beta. It's not good for you.
Okay.
Anyway, there's two reasons. There's a reason for the tinny booties, and it has to do with horses cannot walk on concrete all day.
Right.
And you can't be replacing their shoes all day long, whereas tinny booties, guess what? Not a problem.
Yes.
Now, I don't know.
Well, Chris is too lazy to put Cuddle sneakers on, so he'd rather just use a guide dog, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I've got one of those things, and I rather like it, but...
You've got one of what things?
Guide dog.
Oh, you have a guide dog. Okay. Are you blind?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I rather like my guide dog. However, I can see an advantage to a horse being 10 years older.
Right.
But the ones I've been around in my life are the dumbest beasts in the world, except for one, and that was a Morgan horse.
All right.
Now, the...
All right. Sorry, we're out of time, but see, once we get off on a Cuddles train, there's no going back. Emily's List, President, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are a bitch.
I am not.
It is only when someone challenges my Cuddles.
Oh, boy.
It is Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stephanie Shriok is the president of Emily's List, who is, what can you say, doing the Lord's work. I say that a lot, but... It's true in this case. Getting fine female candidates elected all across the U.S. of A. Good morning, Steph.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. And I heard a fun fact about you that I didn't know. You ran Senator Al Franken's campaign.
I did run Senator Al Franken's campaign.
Great job.
Thank you.
And by the way, he's really been doing a fabulous job as a senator, hasn't he?
He is amazing. I knew, you know, it's one of those things. I met him a long time ago. I know you've had him on and have talked to him numerous times. I knew he was going to be a fantastic senator. I just knew it when I first met him. He's so smart. He is so focused and passionate about making the world a better place. We just had to get him through that campaign, and it did take a little bit longer than we had anticipated.
I know. But, I mean, it always cracked me up how the right tried to dismiss him out of hand. Oh, he's a comedian. It's like, well, he's not Carrot Top, for God's sakes. He went to Harvard, you know. I mean, it was just hilarious.
And honestly, one of the most brilliant people I know.
Yeah.
He really is. Doing a fantastic job.
But anyway, that got you on all sorts of lists as Democratic superstars, 40 under 40, young Washingtonians to watch.
Whatever.
Dear God, you're a superstar. Now
I've been lucky.
Yeah. So let's talk about Emily's list, and let's talk about the midterms, specifically out here in California, where, you know, I just did I just spoke at a fundraiser for Senator Boxer, and
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like this is, you know, whether it's Sarah Palin or whatever, it's this whole like, oh, any woman. I think, like, when Sarah Palin started giving endorsements out like Skittles, you guys went, hey, wait a minute, and you did this, what is the thing called that you're doing, the Sarah Doesn't Speak For Me series?
Exactly right. We rolled out to the campaign, Sarah Doesn't Speak For Me website. We did a video about a month ago. The first video did include some talking Mama Grizzly Bears.
Yes, there were bear costumes.
There were bear costumes.
Yes.
And they were talking about that it really does matter what you stand for.
Right.
It really does. And we have had such amazing response, not surprising, because women and men are looking for a place to come to say, you know, Sarah Palin does not speak for me. These candidates that she is supporting are really far-right extremists, and they do not speak for me either.
Well, Steph, you and I talked about this early on, that many of us as women at least felt insulted when they chose Sarah Palin. It was really like such a blatant, like, oh, look, we have a woman too. She's just like Hillary. You go, she is not even vaguely as qualified as Hillary to be president of the United States. I mean, it was just insulting, wasn't it?
Well, and we have amazing women who have worked their way up or have done amazing things in their communities. You've got so many here right in California, Barbara Boxer being one of them, who has proven through, you know, smarts and brains and powerful strategy and really smart politics to make a difference in the state.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It is a women in office, but it does matter what they stand for.
No, I said this, you know, at the fundraiser, that, you know, she has stood with us for so many years. It is time for us to stand with her. She has been fighting for, you know, Californians of all stripes for so long. And, you know, I'm sorry, Carly Fiorina, you cannot, it doesn't even matter gender, does it, Steph? You just go, this is somebody who is running on their record, who ran a company into the ground, got fired, outsourced how many thousands of jobs, you know.
And thought it was a good strategy to outsource the jobs.
Right.
I mean, this is one of the reasons we came out this week, and I'm actually in California today. I've been in California for a couple days because at Emily's List, we wanted to share a second installment of the Sarah Doesn't Speak For Me campaign to talk about some of the stories that we got on our website about why the Sarah Palin doesn't speak for me, but also to really make it clear to people all over the country and here in California that Sarah Palin and Carly Fiorina are partners.
Yep.
They are tied together. They think the same way. They believe the same things. And I just know that Californians do not stand by the two of those.
Right, right. Well, you know, Stephanie, this is it's interesting. Here's a chick issue. You know, when Carly Fiorina, that piece of tape where she got caught, you know, talking about Barbara Boxer's hair, there is also an element in here that is so anti-woman. It's sort of like a Mean Girls thing that to me is, you know, starts with Sarah Palin, but then, like I say, you know, the camera doesn't lie. I mean, that's who Carly Fiorina is. And, you know, it's like this catty sort of, you know, I mean, you're like, you think, I can't believe she's talking about a United States senator like that, like you would in junior high or something.
Well, and in a time where we all women really need to help each other, to empower each other, to succeed, to manage our families and our homes, to take use the opportunities that so many women before us have provided by breaking down doors and ceilings, to have this group of really extreme Republican women candidates come out and basically make it feel like we're going to shut the doors behind us. We're in, thank you so much, and we're done here.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we just can't have that. We can't allow that to happen.
Yep. Let's just say two words. Christine O'Donnell. What?
Wasn't it an interesting week in politics, huh?
Yes. Yes. But, I mean, here we go again, where it's just you go, oh, my God, just when you think these candidates can't get nuttier and less qualified when you have a Sharon Engel, here comes a Christine O'Donnell.
It is a constant surprise about what's going on in the Republican Party. And this is the one thing we all have to remember because, you know, it's in the New York Times this week. It's all over the media. But these are the Republicans that are voting and splitting apart here. And that's how Christine O'Donnell got through this. And it's really telling about how conservative and how extreme these Republican candidates have to be to get through these primaries. And independents around the country, as they learn more about these candidates, they are not going to stand with these folks.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And, Steph, you know, you were obviously a brilliant campaign manager. I mean, they have got to use the Karl Rove video in campaign ads, don't they? I mean, he made the most compelling case against Christine O'Donnell, you know, before he tried to walk it back, right?
Oh yes. And you got the honest statement from him. Mm-hmm. And for once, he was completely honest with
right.
his opinion. I have a feeling we're going to see that.
Yeah.
Before Election Day.
Yeah.
Numerous times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just.
Well, and the Delaware state party chair of the Republican Party, you know, also made it very clear. I mean, Delaware, you know, the home of Vice President Biden, has a long history of really good, solid Democrats and also moderate Republicans and some good moderate Republicans, dare I say. And I just don't believe that the folks who live in Delaware are going to stand with her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is what I keep saying, that, and I hope it proves to be true, but that I think the Tea Party is nothing but good news for Democrats, that I think many of these candidates are going to implode in November. Do you?
Oh, I do, but I'll tell you what, it is important for us, and that's what we're doing at Emily's List and what Barbara Boxer's doing every day, is to make sure that the voters know the choice here. Because, you know how it is. Voters are busy. They're running around, particularly women, trying to do a million things with the kids and soccer games and grocery shopping, you name it, full-time jobs plus a second job. They're not focusing yet, and we got to make sure that those women voters have this information, and that's precisely why we keep pushing Sarah Doesn't Speak for Me, and we're also rolling out a California Women Vote program right here in the state of California to make sure that independent women in particular have this information,
because mm-hmm.
they don't always know.
Right. Well, I mean, Steph, I will say that it's a, you know, it's a cattywampus year, as they say. It's a, I mean, it really is the fact that this race could be so close, because it's neck and neck, right, Boxer Fiorina?
It is. It absolutely is.
Which is incredible to me, with one of our finest senators and somebody that is just completely unqualified and unlikable, by the way.
Well, and it is an example, really, of how frustrated voters are. But we have seen over and over again in conversations and in a lot of the polling, you're seeing that underneath those head-to-head numbers is a lot of undecided folks who
mm-hmm.
just don't have the information yet. And we can do that. We can get it out there.
Well, and this is historically the time when people start to focus, right? And as Joe Biden says, it's time to get it in gear, you know?
That's exactly right. I mean, kids are back in school. Folks are getting back into their schedules. You know, October is just around the corner, and we are really, you know, voters are really going to start focusing, particularly women voters.
And I thought Bill Clinton crystallized it well, and Jim Ward was just saying this, that, I mean, as Joe Biden said, you have to look at what's at stake here. Bill Clinton said the other day, these Tea Party people would consider George Bush a liberal. I mean, this is what's at stake. These are the kind of people that could get in unless we activate. Right,
and the Tea Party folks, and you know, those like Carly Fiorina and Sharon Engel and Christine O'Donnell and Michelle Bachmann, who's already sitting there. We can get a little snapshot of what Michelle Bachmann does every day. They want to just tear down everything. I mean, tear down our government, tear down our Social Security, our Medicare, I mean, the whole shebang. They want it gone.
You know, God, Steph, I don't even know how to say this, but, you know, when you mention Michelle Bachmann and you look at, you know, whether it's Sarah Palin, Christine O'Donnell, there's something in this that I don't even know how to verbalize this, but that's bad for women, isn't it? In the sense that you go, oh, if you're pretty, you don't really have to be smart enough or qualified enough to run for these positions. I mean, that to me seems like, you know, that's what people are talking about. It's like these Sarah Palin clones.
Well, I think it's more and more important for all of us who support women candidates, and you know, for us who support Democratic women candidates, to really work harder to empower young women and talk to young women about the importance of what we're doing and why we believe Democratic women should be in office. We've made such an amazing difference, and we got to tell that story.
Yep.
And we
got to
tell it now, because what's missing with this particular group of extreme Republican candidates, both women and men, quite frankly, are any policies that actually empower women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like in fact, they want to tear apart policies that have helped provide opportunities for women to
yep.
finally become closer to equal in this country. So we're still dealing with pay inequity, and we're still dealing with fights on reproductive choice, and
yep.
we're still not equal numbers in law firms or corporations. Like, we've got a long ways to go, and we need more policies that help women advance and not tear down those policies.
Steph, I know you're going to San Francisco, right, to keynote the Women's Policy Summit. What's your take on the Meg Whitman, Jerry Brown race before you go?
Yeah, it is another piece where I have to say, yes, I want to see more women in office, but what these folks stand for matters. What these candidates stand for matters. And
you don't want to see Eva Braun in office.
I think Joe Brown is going to make a fantastic governor.
Yep. There you go. Very politic.
And California needs him, and this country needs him.
Yep.
By the way, Jim wasn't calling Meg Whitman Eva Braun. He was just saying not every woman is necessarily a good candidate.
But if you behave and adopt these Tea Party principles, you get $50,000 in free clothes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Isn't that cool?
Exactly. It's Tea Party Barbie.
Yeah.
You know, it is a reminder, though, of how important these small dollar gifts are to these candidates and these donations, and why I'm so glad to hear that you Stephanie were helping Senator Boxer with a fundraiser. Those $50 and $100 checks is exactly what is energizing this Tea Party, and a little bit of money into O'Donnell's race changed that race. We have got to do the same thing, and the progressives started this. We know how to do
right.
this.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, you're right. It's like we still own this democracy. I think part of it out here is that Meg, you know, you want to prove that Meg Whitman can't just buy, you know, the governorship. I mean,
absolutely not. And
I mean,
we don't want that. I mean, all of us as Americans do not want to see that because you are super rich, you can buy
yep.
a seat in government. Like, we can't have that.
I trip over a different bag of cash Meg Whitman leaves on my door every morning, and I'm still not voting for her. Stephanie Shriok of Emily's List, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for everything you're doing.
You too.
And I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. There she goes.
Yep.
And the president of Emily's List.
And we have links to Emily's List up there at stephaniemiller.com and on your Facebook page.
It's next to Cuddles.
When Jerry Brown was governor last time, I remember things being pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is the Cuddles, the Wonder Horse Show.
Yeah.
I'm in the Cuddles ditch, and there's no coming out. I'm on my own Facebook page. Look at the pictures of Cuddles. Oh, Cuddles are laying on her table. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone
Cuddles
number.
Leaving little tiny piles of horse poop.
Oh, he's so cute. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris in Oakland. Cuddles is the antidote for California Republican women. That's what Chris thinks. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Hey.
There's something that's occurred to me about Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina that I hear no one else talking about, but can I tell you a short little circular political story that I think is kind of cool first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When Senator Feinstein was the mayor of San Francisco, my mom says she used to see Barbara Boxer in the grocery store line at the same time I was at Redwood High School with Gavin Newsom.
Wow.
That's kind of a neat little connection.
Wow. That is.
That's cool.
Yikes.
Well, thanks for saying wow, because most people just look at me like, okay.
Does Barbara Boxer choose paper or plastic?
Right. Well, in San Francisco now you can only choose paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But paper or plastic, either way, B-Box rocks.
Yes,
but,
exactly.
Hey, it occurs to me.
Do you need electroshock, sir? Yeah. Are you okay? Clear!
Every day.
Go ahead.
With increasing voltage. It occurs to me that representing constituents is far different from representing corporate investors or shareholders. Mm-hmm. I don't hear anyone talking about this, but the more I hear Fiorina and Whitman tout their experience as corporate executives, the less confidence I have in their ability to represent people.
Yep.
Corporations, by design, are designed to make profit. Governments are not. If anything, a nonprofit a nonprofit would inspire more confidence. I mean, I hear no one talking about this.
It seems like whether they
were good at it or not as a corporate executive is debatable.
Well, that's what we don't get. That's what we don't get.
Skill set.
How do you keep electing people and go, government sucks? Put us in government. It's like, well, if you don't think it works, why do you want to? I mean, they're government jobs. I heard somebody on the radio said, caller, well, they're just government jobs. They're government. Really? I'd like to see if your house is burning down and there's not enough firemen in your area. Well, they're just government jobs. We don't need that many of them.
Okay. I have a hose. Why do I have to pay taxes to have a fire department?
Like, the roads are already built. What's the point of what?
They're never going to go away or degrade in any way.
Okay, I'm going to be gone for the rest of the show because I just saw a picture of the two guide horses in bed next to each other. They're both on pillows. They're both sleeping and they're on pillows under the covers. There's Cuddles and his friend. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Oh, I can't. Seriously, there's no coming back from a Cuddles ditch.
I guess not.
Okay. Meanwhile, Democrats were able to deliver President Obama a significant legislative victory yesterday. The Senate voted to approve a long-stalled $30 billion small business tax package, and was probably the last real economic stimulus measure before the midterms, with the help of Republicans. This is the only Republicans that do the right thing. Republicans that are not running anymore.
Yeah.
George Voinovich of Ohio and George Lemieux of Florida.
Lemieux.
Exactly. George Le. Exactly. Harry Reid able to push through the legislation 6138. The measure includes a new Treasury-backed loan facility for small business owners and a major tax break for businesses over the next two years. So
that's big government communism, helping small businesses. Where the hell do they get off?
Thank you, George Le. We're just in an animal ditch. There's no coming back.
No.
All right. The president talking about the economy and jobs.
America is going to bat as a stronger partner and a better advocate for our businesses abroad.
Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the tax cuts.
Without getting into procedure and timing and process, what we're going to do is to say, at the end of the day, the extension of the Obama middle-income tax cuts will take place.
Thank you. Reframe the issue.
That's right.
Exactly. The boner.
She ought to pledge that there'll be an honest up or down vote on stopping all of the coming tax hikes.
Yeah. Stopping all of them.
Anything less than that is unacceptable.
That's unacceptable. Well, stutter and cry and throw books on the floor.
Boner again.
The speaker allows an up or down vote. I'm confident that the American people will not see increases in their taxes.
By which you mean people making $1 million a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those people. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, Fridays with Fugle saying next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's
The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. John Amato, proprietor of crooksandliars.com, coming up this hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller, this hour. Brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Check it out. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Also on StephanieMiller.com, you can go to my Facebook page and see a picture of Cuddles, the little tiny guide horse.
That wears sneakers.
And has blue eyes.
How did you find out about this Cuddles
thing? I saw it in People magazine years ago, and I've never gotten over it.
Wow.
Okay, it's Friday, everybody. That's the important thing.
With Fugle Sang.
Thank God it's Friday.
With John Fugle Sang.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Greetings, my children. How are you?
Good, honey.
I had the best time guest hosting for you last week, Steppers.
I heard nothing but good things. As you know, I'm not bright enough to get a substandard fill-in host. So I tend to get people better than me and risk losing my show. Good job.
Oh, well done, yes. Well, they were wonderful. You do have the most sexually attractive audience in the history of broadcasting. And I'd be saying that even if I wasn't a congenital panderer. We had a blast. We had Emmy winners and Pulitzer winners and lunatics. It was a lot of fun, but I missed you so much.
I missed you, too. You are in Florida.
I am.
With your mommy.
Yes, we just got back from Mass, which was said today by Father Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He couldn't make it to Benedict's vacation in the U.K., so he's down here saying Mass.
By the way, I mean, this is amazing news, really, when you think of how glacial some people feel like, gay rights is moving. But, I mean, the Senate is scheduled to vote for Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
It's really amazing, and it's going to be a really kind of, I feel like Harry Reid has just grown testicles this month, because he's really, really forced this himself, because he's saying, hey, put up or shut up, you Democratic punks. What's it going to be? Where are you going to stand on this? And I think he's been reading the polls and knows that the overwhelming majority of Americans has come to agree with the sane point of view, and the point of view that all of our allies have, that, yeah, let people serve. What's your problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think, again, courts are getting ahead of us. That's the thing, is, that is not hard to understand for anybody. It is unconstitutional. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is I feel like the same track that gay marriage is on. You cannot legally explain why some people in our society are not entitled to the same rights as everybody else.
And especially when you're taxing them, It's like you can't tax someone and say he doesn't have a right to go die for oil. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
And the same with marriage, And Colin Powell's original argument for years was it would threaten unit cohesion. Doesn't that sound like the point of it is all the units coming together anyway?
No.
I mean,
Maybe you meant eunuch cohesion.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, about taxes. I remember a couple of years ago, the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Melissa Etheridge, said, if I don't have the same rights, maybe I won't pay my taxes. And listen, with the trouble we're in California, that would we go under.
Wow.
If Melissa Etheridge stopped paying her taxes.
Oh, I know. I think California's got to invest all of its state funds in medical marijuana and tattoo removal. State tattoo removal.
So what do you make of the whole Christine O'Donnell and the Karl Rove, the whole Republicans eating their own? It's delightful, isn't it?
It really is. It's fun to watch Karl Rove grovel and say, thank you, may I get another. It's pretty amazing. Let's not forget, if you read Mary Shelley, Dr. Frankenstein was killed by his own monster. And in this case, I know Christine O'Donnell. I've worked with her a couple of times.
Oh, that's right, on Politically Incorrect.
Yeah, I did Politically Incorrect with her about, 11 or 10 or 12 years ago. I'm not even sure when, but it was a really fascinating experience. I got to say, Democrats underestimate her at her own peril, because being, ignorant and mean and crazy is not a negative to many Republican voters. And she's an incredibly charming woman. She's incredibly likable, very nice, good company, quite pleasant. She's not an evil figure whatsoever. Her ideas are, she's not. We were backstage before the show, and I was talking to her with Charmy, and she told me she'd recently broken up with a boyfriend. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Why is it? And Christine said to me, because he's Catholic, and he doesn't believe that he can know for sure that he's going to go to heaven when he dies. But I know I'm going to heaven when I die.
Wow.
And I'm like, And that's what you break up with the guy for?
Wow.
Inadequate spiritual narcissism?
Well,
he's
that
not
no
entitled
sense.
Enough okay. spiritually? I was kind of shocked
wow.
by it. I mean, you know, think about it. She, aside from the fact that Christine assumes she knows she's going to heaven, that she'd break up with someone because he's too humble to go around saying he knows it. I mean, that's
wow.
not... That's your deal breaker. You know
Did she
what?
Seem tense when you saw her? Because I'm trying to sort of square the whole, she doesn't believe in sex before marriage, she doesn't believe in masturbation. So I,
mm-hmm.
she must be tense is all I'm saying.
Well, and she has a gay sister as well who lives in L.A. and who works in theater. So,
I heard mean, that.
We know nothing about her relationship with her sister. But and we also know that she's been just caught paying $3,500 to her mother out of campaign funds. So, you know.
Wow.
It's only going to get more
yeah,
entertaining.
I, you know, I've got a... Chris, we should check into this, but I thought I heard this whole story that there was a guy that used to work with her that came out to her, you know, as gay, and I think that
yeah.
she, you know, didn't have anything to do with him after that. So that's an interesting side story as well.
Daily Beast ran it. He lived with her and when he got out of his ex-gay ministries, and they went around speaking together about how you two can be cured, and when he finally said, Christine, I think I'm lying. I don't think I can change who I really am, she cut him off and has never spoken to him again.
Wow. Oh, that's so sad.
Wow.
Well, she's Christian. She has to do the right thing. You know, she's kind of like a less intellectually threatening Sarah Palin, and I like that. Like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of Sarah Palin.
But you know what? She's dangerous because people follow that kind of person.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Bob Dole. I want to know what Bob Dole thinks of all of this. I want to find a sane Republican to comment on it.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a fruitcake. Go back, John.
No, but you're right. It's like, you know, it's putting this pretty pleasant face on really mean homophobia, among other things, you know?
Yeah, and it works. She's like a very younger, hotter church lady. You know, Dana Carvey needs to play a prequel of her. I mean, like, think about it. Breaking up with a guy because he doesn't know for sure that he's going to go to heaven, that's your deal breaker? Don't you find that out on the first date? Do you have chlamydia? Are you on parole? Do you know for absolute certain God likes you better than other people? You know, it comes up. We were on the air, and she said that she believed that only Christians went to heaven, and this is something the media's got to get on her case about if she ever speaks to anybody besides Hannity. I said to her on the air, I'm like, are you saying Gandhi is in hell? Are you saying the Indians and Malcolm X and Medgar Evers and Anwar Sadat and everyone, I'm sorry, not Medgar Evers, but Anwar Sadat, everybody who's not a Christian is burning in hell right now? I mean, this woman believes this. And just like in New York, we have Carl Paladino,
right.
who when his emails go public, he's going to lose the black vote and the female vote and the sane vote. Christine O'Donnell,
yep.
if you are not Christian, you have no business voting for Christine O'Donnell. And if you are Christian, you have no business voting for Christine O'Donnell.
Yep.
Now, is she talking just Christian as in Protestant or Christian as in Catholics and the like?
She says Christian across the board.
Okay.
I mean, she said only Christians go to heaven. I don't know for sure.
So that includes Mormons and all of that.
Well, speaking
I don't know if she sub-discriminates, Chris.
No.
No, but speaking of politically incorrect, I mean, you probably weren't on that specific one, but we were talking about the one yesterday where she was the head of this, you know, pro-truth organization and Eddie Izzard.
Salt.
Right,
yeah,
Eddie Izzard said.
The Alliance for Lifting Truth.
Yeah, but, I mean, talk about, you know, moral absolutism. I mean, he literally said, what if, you know, would you lie to the Nazis that you were hiding Jews in your house? And she literally is like, oh, you know, no, there's no reason to lie ever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, it's crazy because this is someone who walks around saying that, you know, being gay is a sin. That's a lie. That's not in the Bible unless you believe every part of Leviticus. And if you believe every part of Leviticus, then you have to stone people who work on Saturdays.
Yep.
You know, that's NASCAR. Kill them all.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, I don't know if you, did you watch the original Karl Rove on Hannity? I mean, just hilarious. I mean, hilarious.
It's really incredible. Bill Clinton came out and said that these people, would the current Republican Party would call George Bush a liberal. And I'm
yep.
starting to think it's really true. And Karl Rove is the voice of reason and integrity. And
yeah. And
that
was
Karl's whole point. He was saying integrity is more important than electability, which I didn't know he could pronounce that sentence.
Yeah, yeah. And when Karl Rove thinks you're too dirty a campaigner, you know, something's gone wrong.
Well, Karl knows you don't get caught in a lie, you know. I mean, don't try and tell a lie that you can get caught with.
Yes.
You know, there are men in my bushes. No, John McCain has a brown daughter. I didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, Karl Rove is the master of political dirty tricks going back to his college days.
Right.
And I think the real reason he was against her, more so than her low standards, and she wasn't the one who accused the guy of being gay. That was one of her staffers.
Right. Because she's bad at
yeah.
dirty tricks. That's, you know, because he's like, no, you do the whispering campaign like I did against Ann Richards. You don't say it if you can't prove it.
Lee Atwater would roll over in his crypt if he could see this right now.
So then the, you know, the saddest part of this, so Karl Rove appears to be the latest GOP to bow down before Rush Limbaugh. You know, as you know, they've pretty much all thrown Rove under the bus. So then he goes on the, what do you call it, Rush? He said, let's see, Rush said, this is about conservatives taking back the Republican Party. Who the hell are they anyway to anoint or disanoint someone as electable or not electable? I'm in charge of that. That's always been my purview, and nothing's changed. So then Rove says, then he tries to paint himself as an O'Donnell supporter. He bemoaned being called an establishment Republican, pleading, I'm a huge Tea Party fan. She's got a shot to win, claiming that he endorsed her the other night. If that was an endorsement.
Yes, calling her nutty is the new endorsement.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were saying that, I mean, they absolutely have to run that in the campaign out in Delaware, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They have to. They have to show Karl Rove. Sadly, most Republican folks don't pay that close attention and don't really know who Karl Rove is. They know him as that guy that Hannity likes on the show. They don't really realize that he's one of the reasons we've got so many dead soldiers in this country. It's great to see them turning on each other, but the important thing is to get your independent friends and your liberals and everyone you know fired up to go out and vote, because the Tea Party, they may be crazy and they may be wrong and they may be hypocrites, but they are organized, man. They are psyched to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. John Fugel said, continues Fridays with Fugel Stang, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on! You gotta admit this is cool!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
In a black bikini. Oh, she looked so good, she couldn't be real. She must be a...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang on the phone for a Fugelsang in Friday. Good morning, John.
But I'll be with you in studio next Friday in L.A.
Yay! Okay. All right, I need to do the thing, what I do, the hold thing. Here we go. I did it right. Richard in Los Angeles, you're on with John. Go ahead. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. Yeah, John, I mean, I heard you talking about Leviticus, and that anyone who believes in all of Leviticus believes that they have to stone someone on the Sabbath. First of all, you, nor anyone, Christian, Jew, Muslim, or anyone, is going to tell me what I have to do with my belief system. And I happen to believe in all of Leviticus, and I don't have to do anything.
Really?
I believe in it because, that's right.
But if you believe in Leviticus, it tells you you need to stone people to work.
I don't have to do anything. In fact, it says I shall not kill, and I should do these things. But you know what? God wrote these laws, and if God says so-and-so should be put to death, I leave it in God's hands to put people to death. Because I'm praying for you, pagan.
No, but God says you should do it in Leviticus.
God says, well,
no,
I'm not
word,
going
the word
to do
stoning
it.
Is used. The word stoning
I'm
is
not
used,
going
right.
to do it. I'm not
do
going
it,
to
Richard.
Do it.
Do it, Richard.
God is telling you to do it.
Just
you have to do it.
If you want to magnify the ridicule of God as a father, as you claim
Richard,
to believe,
are you have a dialogue or are you going to talk over me?
I'm going to try to get my point across. And
you have,
like
Richard. I want to ask you I'd like to ask you a question respectfully.
Yeah,
Do you believe that adulterers should be executed as is laid out in Leviticus 20, verse 10? Adultery deserves execution. Do you believe it?
I don't believe it. No, I don't. I disagree that I'm going to do the killing.
Then you disagree.
They should be put to death. Then I disagree with it. But I also don't eat pig at every meal when the Leviticus says to not eat pig. And I happen to lie with a man and not as with a woman.
Hang on a second.
I believe
in
that.
Hang on a second. I'm asking you something else. You believe adulterers deserve to be put to death, correct?
No, I don't believe that.
But you said you believe in Leviticus.
You just said you believe in Leviticus. I'm talking about Leviticus.
I don't play the game you people do. Try to find everyone else.
Okay.
All right, Richard, I have to hang up on you because you're calling from an echo chamber, number one.
Stephanie, I love you, but you have to find a higher caliber of imbecile. I'm sorry. I mean,
I believe in everything. It's God's word, except when I disagree with it.
You know what?
Folks,
you can't, I mean...
The first piece of scripture I laid on that guy, and he contradicted himself.
Yep.
You know,
no,
this
I didn't.
Is the problem. They're not Christians, folks.
Yes, I am.
Jesus is nothing about that kind of stuff.
No, he did.
Yeah. You know what? He would be toast on a normal day, but when the ecclesiastical mook is here, that was really not a good day to call.
Any other morons listening, call up. I got a Bible in my hand, you hypocrite. But this is what we're fighting, and this is why, you know, it's like if we say all religious people are stupid, well, then we're no better than the teabaggers because we're stereotyping, you know, but you got to use their own logic against them because they're not Christian. They're a mean, smug little club. They're prayer without care.
It's like that Gandhi quote about, I like your Christ, you're Christians.
Not so much.
Not so much. He didn't say not so much, okay. But I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. I don't think Gandhi ever said not so much. LOL. OMFG.
But he did say press any key.
All right. Speaking of super Christians, Mel Gibson's story from the Superficial.
And that green thing was enough. Be able to show tight pants.
This is a great story. So apparently Mel Gibson was wearing a fake nose and mustache when the paparazzi spotted him in Santa Monica. He ordered his driver to pull over and proceeded to walk up to the paparazzi's car with his iPhone out.
Yeah.
Superficial writing, the dude talking in the video was just annoyingly aggressive, though, and clearly trying to get a reaction out of Mel. It's like watching someone wave a raw steak in front of a tiger while you bite your nails and wait for an arm to get ripped off. Except all that happens is a barely snappy comeback. Mel says, you like sniffing other people's laundry? Which somehow slightly endears you to Mel Gibson, even though you wanted to see him headbutt the car into a ravine after blowjays aren't offered as a peace agreement.
That's like, what I do when I'm sober.
I mean, I don't are they the only people in the world that have not listened to these tapes? Do you really want to try to make Mel Gibson mad?
Well, a good thing for Mel, he has a lot of very big fake noses left over from all these scenes of actual Jews in Passion of Christ.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. That movie, just the Romans pretty much make Jesus breakfast in that movie, but the Jews are the bad guys.
Joanna in Napa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John Fugel saying hello, Joanna.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have two comments. The first one, as a Christian, that guy was out to lunch, and I appreciate you guys making the distinguishment between lunatics and people who truly believe in the Beatitudes and everything else Jesus actually really said.
Right.
And number two, I'm a kindergarten teacher. I only teach small children, but there's a lot of research that shows that if you tell a small child or a group of children in a classroom that they're, you know, special and need lots of help, then they're not going to quite perform up to par. And that same research shows if you take the average child and you tell them rocket scientists, what do you know? They perform way above average, okay?
Right.
So we're setting up in the media, in my opinion, self-fulfilling prophecies by continually spouting, oh, Democrats aren't going to come out to the polls, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And setting it up to say, why bother doing it? Because you're going to fail. I would
exactly
think of the media say, oh, wow, look at everything the Democrats have done. We are so fabulous.
Yeah.
Let's get there and vote and keep it up.
All right, Jeannie, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's part of this whole thing, John, right? It's like, don't let it run these psychops on you. Like, oh, there's enthusiasm gap. Oh, the Democrats are going to get creamed. Oh, you might as well stay home.
The media needs ratings. They need the eyeballs. And so the more they can make it seem like a horse race, the better. And the more they can, you know, as soon as it became profitable to turn on Obama, the media did. It's very predictable. The only bias the media has is to ratings. It's not their fault, their business. You know, it's okay. But it's more time than ever that we have to start promoting Obama's accomplishments, letting people know what the alternative is. And really, you know, what do you want? Do you want to have less taxes on the rich? Is that the goal? Because that's all the other guys are offering. And by the way, everybody listening, Bush was the one who designed these tax cuts to expire in the end of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start calling them Bush's tax increase, because that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Bush's tax hikes. Exactly. John Fugelsang, how might we find out Fugelsangian things about you?
You can find me anytime over on johnfugelsang.com or on the Twitter.
Okay. All right, honey. We'll see you live in studio in L.A. next week. Can't wait.
Have a great week.
All right,
bye-bye.
Honey. There we go. Steve Fugelsang. All right, John Amato, proprietor of Crooks and Liars, with his new book, Over the Cliff, How Obama's Election Drove the American Right Insane, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I like the new you, but for some reason I kind of want you to slap me and throw a drink in my face.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, when media whoring gets difficult.
What happened?
I'm going to, Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC tonight.
Oh, yay!
But I have to do it from a, I asked, what time should I leave for West LA? And you said now.
Pretty much.
Now, for, it'll be a, what is 3 o'clock Pacific time.
You have to
appearance.
Be there at 3?
The appearance is more like 3:45-ish Pacific time. I gotta go. Jim, can you take over?
Honestly, I say leave your place by 1:30.
All right, thanks. Should we be doing this off the air? Okay, a message from Ask Me. We know all too well what happens when Republicans run the show. Apologies and favors for big oil and Wall Street, schemes to privatize Social Security, and hundreds of thousands more layoffs for our teachers, nurses, and firefighters. As we get close to November, remember, history only repeats itself if you let it. Thank you, Ask Me. All right. Oh, by the way, did I mention that it's 3 o'clock Pacific time?
Right.
It'll be 6 p.m. Eastern time because I study my time zones.
Oh, boy.
We are thrilled and delighted to have John Amato, the proprietor of Crooks and Liars, on the phone, who does know what time zone it is. Good morning, John.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
I do know the time zone. I'm usually up to 2 or 3 in the morning, so it's a little early for me, but I'm up and bushy-eyed and ready to go.
That's because you're a musician.
Of course.
You keep musicians' hours.
I'm a vampire.
I know. I didn't know that about you, that you've played with some major bands.
Yes, I have.
Look at you.
I'm a sax player and a flutist.
Wow.
I mean, it's interesting playing in rock bands as a sax player.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, more importantly, you are. We love us some crooksandliars.com, but you have a great new book out called Go ahead.
Over the Cliff, How the Election of Barack Obama Drove the Right Wing Insane. And, you know, what David Nywert, who's the co-author and the managing editor of Crooks and Liars, myself saw immediately after Obama was elected was this whiplash politics type effect. And it was such a vitriolic expression of hatred that came right out of the box. I mean, I felt like I was in a car wreck after just 5 minutes of Fox News. And so immediately I said, Dave, we have to start documenting this because there's something going on here that's never gone on before in history. And we got it out there in June, and the stuff that we talk about, we try to explain a lot of things, but what this Tea Party's bred in, how it rose, along with the extremist elements that now have joined the Republican Party and have been transmitted through like mainstream media outlets where never before these wacky, violent, dangerous ideas would be ever permitted to be on the airwaves.
Well, you know, you have an interesting fact, which I didn't even know. In the first 2 weeks of Obama's presidency, there were more than 200 hate crimes, including, you know, assault, arson, even murder. You know, when you talk about how it seems to just be getting worse.
Yeah, it was an amazing find that immediately, I mean, on the night, you know, like it's a night of celebration for America, okay? I know if you're a Republican at the time, you're disappointed, and you know, but you knew what was coming. And for many Americans, this is a historic moment because not only did we get to kick out George Bush and Dick Cheney, but also the first African-American was elected to the highest office in the country's history. And that, no matter how you felt, you have, you know, what side you're on, you have to view that as a historic achievement. But on that night, you know, there were these outbreaks. You had not only murders, you had arsons. You had students and college students.
Right.
No, you wouldn't think college students would be this, you know, out over the top, but you had them, you know, yelling the N-word. You had these four men, and they were white, driving around in Staten Island, and they wanted to kill a black person, and they wound up assaulting four people, and they finally hit and run, and he wasn't even a black or African-American man. So, you know, the book, if we just took the time to write about the violent episodes alone in the book, it, you know, it would have taken up 300 pages. But, you know, one of the most important developments, and when we go to violence, you know, when the right wing had been in power for 8 years, you still had protests in Kansas at Dr. Tiller's, you know, abortion clinic,
right,
and this whole thing. But only about 3 months into Obama's presidency, Dr. Tiller was murdered. They just have to really, you know, it was a big story at the time, and now it's sort of faded away from the ethos. But really, think about that. Dr. Tiller was murdered. It's no small event in the whole correlation of this right-wing extremism.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, you write, you know, the election of the country's first black president turned right-wingers into anti-government zealots. I mean, you know, you're right. There's no coincidence that, I'm sorry, in many quarters, it's because a black guy is in charge of the government that they're suddenly anti-government crazies.
Yeah, I mean, how many, you know, it's interesting. Like, we all have friends, and we all have friends that have sort of, you know, older relatives that we're friends with, and I talked to a friend of mine. She was like 86, and I knew that she was Republican. Her husband had owned a factory, and I talked to her. She's a big Yankees fan, and she's from New York, and I'm a baseball fan. And we started talking about the Yankees. I hadn't talked to her for a while, and in the middle of what we usually would see how Derek Jeter's doing. She said, you know, John, I know that you don't like Fox News, and why do you hate Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity? Just tell the truth. And then the next shocking thing, she said, I don't want that black man destroying my country.
Aye, aye.
And I mean, it was that, you know, but she doesn't consider herself a racist.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just don't like that black guy.
It would be any black guy, but, you know, that black man, it really sort of said, wow.
Right.
I mean,
they're
not hiding it anymore.
I love the, you talk about, you call it right-wing, this has unleashed a torrent of right-wing kookery, which, I mean, isn't Christine O'Donnell the latest exhibit? That it's just, I mean, they're not even just right-wing, they're right-wing kooks.
Yes, they are. And, when we see these candidates now, like my political pack, Blue America Pack, we're running ads against what we call Alaska's craziest cat, Joe Miller, although, you know, it's almost hard to top Sarah Palin, but and we're running ads against Joe Miller right now, and you can see them on Crooks and Liars in our Blue America blog. But it's almost as if the wackier and more right wing extremists they are, the people are happy. It doesn't even matter who they are, what they look like. You know, because you have Sharon Angle, who you wouldn't consider a beauty queen, as opposed to the, at the time, Scott Brown and Sarah Palin and Christine O'Donnell, you know, so is younger and so more energetic.
Right.
So they're not even, in ways, you know, Bill Kristol's Dan Quayle experiment now is taking off, and so that he can get that sort of pop culture conservative figure out there. But it's really, when you have this economy, when you have unemployment this high, and when you have a right-wing media that's as powerful as it is, and we'll just use Fox News as the whipping board, that they immediately organized against a newly elected president. I mean, it is the first time in the history of this country that a media outlet was able to put together a outpouring of a new party.
Oh, yep.
It's the John Birch Society.
John, did you see Sarah Palin? She actually said it out loud.
She's going to have to learn that. Yeah, very quickly. She's going to have to dismiss that. Go with her gut. Get out there. Speak to the American people. Speak through Fox News. And let them, the independents who are tuning into you, let them know what it is that she stands for, the principles behind her positions.
Okay. Yikes, you're not supposed to say that out loud, that Fox News is the megaphone of the Republican Party.
As much as Sarah Palin's been on Fox and the only place she stays on, you would still think she might understand that. She probably got like 15 emails from Roger Ailes going, no,
no,
say it out loud.
Exactly. So what do you think is going to happen in the midterms, John? You've been documenting politics for a long time. I mean, you know, are these Tea Party candidates going to implode on the Republican Party?
They're happy either way. The big money poobahs, they're happy because really what they like the most is more like a South African apartheid type country where, you know, God or religion is put into the Constitution. And it's all about about the free markets. And really, when it gets to big business, all they're interested in is their bottom line. So this brand of conservatism, they are trying to turn the federal deficit into the new abortion cry for the religious right.
Right, except they're happy to add $700 billion to it with the Bush tax cuts for the rich.
Well, how many people, you know, conservatives have deluded themselves now to think that Bush wasn't even the person that started it?
Right.
You know, if you talk to people or interview them or even on polls, you know, they don't even think that Bush ever came out with a need for a bailout.
Well, I know. I was going to say, you know, Bill Clinton's right. They would consider George Bush a liberal. And one of the things people don't talk about is how successful TARP was. In my opinion, one of the only successful things George Bush ever did in his presidency is the TARP. You know, and it's still, it's like the you know, program that dare not speak its name.
Yes. We documented over the cliff how the vote went out, you know, because the first time some angry conservatives did pop up at the end and, you know, mess up the vote the first time around. But you have these frauds, these hypocrites like Paul Ryan and John Boehner, right? Crazy Boehner, Mr. Tan, Mr. Golf.
The Tan Man, yes.
They were out there behind the scenes banging heads to get it passed because the big business, the number one constituent of the Republican Party, wanted their wing nut welfare. They wanted their money. And they weren't going to let anybody stop them getting that cash. Now, I had an incident with I went up to my Goodyear tire, which is around the corner from me, right? I needed an oil change. And I went in, and it was an older man who was, it was obviously his place, and it was not crowded, and he had Fox News on, and I just mentioned, oh, you have Fox News on, and within a minute, he was actually cursing and asking why Obama hasn't showed him his birth certificate yet.
Oh, dear God. I'm like, yeah, you know what, I can get an oil change anywhere. All right, John Amato, author of Over the Cliff, How Obama's Election Drove the American Right Insane, crooksandliars.com, the website. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, talk to you next time. There we go. 5 minutes after the hour, Scotchmore Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, I'm shaking it down.
All right, yes, it is God. Okay.
Guy.
It is the
it's early in the morning.
Sky.
Come on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Love you.
And love you back. Go ahead.
I think I have a way to make the right wing's head explode.
Okay.
The Paul Ryans of the world and others are trying to play political football again with Social Security. And the upcoming gap that is still almost 20 years away that they're
Oh, they have
about.
A plan. The teabaggers would just abolish it entirely.
Right.
Yes.
I think I've got a better one, though. And that is, I think we can combine a tax cut with a tax increase and see surpluses for infinity. Because right now, only the first $108,000 of income is taxed. If we lift that cap so that all income is taxed, then that will equal the playing field for all Americans, and then also lower the tax rate so that wage earners are only taxed 5% instead of the 6.2%. So all of us get a little tax break on the rate, but the rich or the high-income earners are getting taxed at the same level that the rest of us are.
What? Billionaires pay taxes. That's communism.
Social Marxism. Okay. Claire in New Hampshire. Hi, Claire. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. You know, I am listening to your show. I heard the lady from Emily's List and this guy who just spoke about going over the cliff.
Yes.
And, you know, since when Obama got elected, he said, you know, things are going to get harder for black people in this country. I didn't believe him. I said, this is a really exciting moment where you can't enjoy it. He said, nope. Things are going to get harder. Things got harder for him in his job.
Uh-huh.
Instead of, they will hire a black woman over a black man who's qualified. Before they hire, they put a black qualified man in a position of management or a director because they're more comfortable with white people. I have been outside with my daughter. They have called us nigger bitches. My 10-year-old daughter.
Say that one more time.
No.
We got it.
No, we got it.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. Or don't say it
one
more time.
Well, I mean, no, she was making a point, so.
Yes.
But
she said a word you can't say. Okay, Mark in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph and crew. Thank you very much. I was at a meeting last night for people that are canvassing and calling for our Democratic candidates here in New Mexico, and somebody threw out a little question. These people are so fringe. I mean, they are so far out there, and they have nothing to replace anything they're talking about tearing down. We kind of wondered, and I didn't look it up in the dictionary, but are these people almost anarchist? I mean, I'm listening to the Randy yesterday, and there's some guy on her show. I mean, I can just imagine he was spitting on his Van Buren beard. He was so angry about having police and firemen.
Yeah, I heard that call. Yeah, I heard that. Until his house is firing down, burning down, right? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So, all right, honey. Jim, you've asked this a million times, but I don't understand why you want to put people in government that hate government, that doesn't think it does anything.
Well, because they want to destroy it from the inside.
All right. By the by, we talked about this poll earlier. Voters by a 9-point margin. Check this out. Voters by a 9-point margin believe Republicans will pick up both the House and Senate, even though they're evenly divided over whom they intend to back. They're listening to the media storyline.
Hmm.
And, you know, but the Democrats basically tied in a generic matchup between the two parties. So, you know, it's just...
Which is completely meaningless.
Yeah. I mean, right. But they trumpeted the story that, Republicans have the largest edge in ever in the history
of
polling.
Oh, it's almost like when Al Gore was losing in a landslide. Oh, we made that up.
By the way, Christine O'Donnell's website is apparently you can't find nothing. Like Sharon Angle, remember? It's all magically gone now. It's been stripped of all information.
And Sharon Angle's trying to sue Harry Reid for actually showing what used to be on her website.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff she put up. Tea Party candidate Christine O'Donnell has a long history of taking outrageous stances, of course, on everything from evolution to lying to Nazis. But now that she's a Republican Senate nominee from Delaware, she may be tracking towards the middle. This is what they do. And now, poof, websites magically. God.
Wow.
There's things about me on the internet I wish I could make disappear. Why don't I?
Yeah, you need a staff to do that for you.
Here's my latest Christine O'Donnell fun fact. The trickle of embarrassing quotes from Christine O'Donnell continued with a release of statements from 2002-2006 that condoms are anti-human.
Ah, sure.
And will not protect you from AIDS. Says noted scientist.
Okay, that is dangerous to public health there. Having a senator who believes that is supremely dangerous. That angers me.
She said, the 2006 interview on the O'Reilly Factor, and what if the population is increasing? So what? People aren't bad. When did humans become a bad thing?
God.
Why is it that we have to, stop people from getting pregnant?
What a dope.
Oh, my.
Wow.
In a discussion centered on AIDS relief in Africa, O'Donnell declared condoms will not protect you from AIDS. So to just throw a bunch of condoms over to Africa and say, here, we're helping you with AIDS, is just going to further the spread of AIDS over there.
What? No.
Yeah, she's not just an idiot, but dangerous.
I can't really hate her because she's just so dumb and naive. It's sad, really.
Well, with that AIDS comment, I hate her now.
Well, that's what John Fugelsang said. He knew her from many years ago. Politically incorrect. It's like, she's nice. She's nice to hang out with. She's not evil. She's
dumb as a post.
Yeah, she's stupid. Speaking of which, Snooki would like you to know the breaking news is she is not dumb. She goes to bookstores and stuff. The superficial writing Snooki and the cast of Jersey Shore stopped by Ellen, where they proceeded to claim America has no idea what they're truly like on the inside and that they're unfairly judged just because they get faced and bang people on TV for money. I'll go to frickin' Barnes & Noble, get a coffee, and just sit down and read, said Snooki. No one would ever think that. Yes, you're right. No one would ever.
Computer says, yeah.
Well, they sell many kinds of books at Barnes & Noble. Yeah, magazines,
reading
comic
about
books.
She also said that she no longer wants to date a juice head. She said, I think I want to move forward. I want to move to Brooklyn and find a business Italian guy to take care of me.
A juice head business Italian guy.
So the superficial
said... What
kind
of business are we talking about? Construction?
See, everybody, Snooki's not just a drunken slam pig. She's also a gold digger. How superficial.
Wow. Yeah, she reads Us Magazine, an article about herself at Barnes & Noble.
Wow.
All right, and one sad one before we go. D-listed writes, prison inmates are torturing George Michael by singing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Oh, no.
His fellow inmates have been butchering his songs by singing them out loud from their cells. As soon as he arrived, some of the prisoners burst into a rendition of Freedom. Oh, that's just poor George. That's a good one, though. I like Freedom. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.